reading of the Word of God. We want to find our place in Luke 16, verse 19. We want to stand and read the Word of God together. And I pray that the Lord might give us what we certainly need. Luke 16, 19 said, "There was a certain man, certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass," notice that, "and it came to pass, and it came to pass," it said, "that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom." I want to preach on this morning God's bloodhound. God's bloodhound. Got to reading this thing and I got to looking up what a bloodhound was. It just come to my mind. The thought, God's bloodhound, old bloodhound dog. As I looked up that word bloodhound and saw some things about the bloodhound, it said something like this. He's a dog that's bred to track human beings. They use bloodhounds to chase escaped convicts and prisoners. They use bloodhounds to go out and try to find missing persons and that sort of thing. A bloodhound can follow a scent that's a day old or maybe days old. And it can carry a scent or follow that scent for long distances. That's why they're so versatile and they use them so much. But ladies and gentlemen, God has a bloodhound. And God gets on the trail of every unsaved man and woman. And that bloodhound tries to chase them and get them to the place to bring them to the Lord Jesus. Amen? God said that He had some. You said He didn't meet you out of the blood of no, but I'll give you some bloodhounds that God's got for every lost man, woman, boy, and girl in this building. Number one, He's got a Bible. Here's the bloodhound of God that chases your soul from the time you come out of the cradle to the time you end up in the grave. God has a bloodhound. God has a bloodhound of the Holy Ghost that can arrest your thinking and get your attention and bring conviction to your soul and stand between you and God to keep you from going to a place called hell when this life's over. Amen. God has a bloodhound. God has the bloodhound of the church that stands on the side of the road that preaches the gospel of the grace of God and shows you that there is a way of escape for your sin through the precious blood of Jesus Christ so that you wouldn't have to die and go to a place called hell. God has the bloodhound. Those bloodhounds will stay on your trail as long as you're in this world. Amen. But I want you to know God has the bloodhound of the men of God, the preacher, who will cry out and spare not, and lift up his voice like a trumpet, and tell his people of their sins. Amen. God has a bloodhound to the unsaved man. Brother, we can expect him not to make too much of a wise decision about anything. An unsaved man has an unsound mind, and he cannot think right and cannot be right until the Holy Ghost of God begins to dwell in him, and he cannot dwell in him until he repents of his sin and calls upon the precious name of the Savior. Are you with me this morning? I'm telling you, brother, you may pass God off in your mind. You may put Him to the side. But I tell you all your life, you may run from God. You may hide from God. You may turn away from God. You may get to the place you don't want God anymore. But I'll tell you, there's going to come a time, one of these days, at one of these hours, one of these moments, the fear of God will come upon you. And when death stares you in the face, brother, I guarantee you, every unsaved man will have to have some fear in their heart of going to the regions of the damned in the place of an unknown and spend eternity in the lake of fire.
Are you with me, ladies and gentlemen? Oh, let me give you some things about this. The bloodhound of God is on your trail. You said, how long will God's bloodhound be on me? God's bloodhound will be on you, unsaved person, this morning, just as long as God exists. You said, but preacher, when this life's over, God's bloodhound won't be around. I've got news for you. God's bloodhound is on your trail. For time and eternity, you'll never get away from God's bloodhound. Let me give you some things from the Word of God. Let me give you some things in Luke 16. Would you jot them down with me this morning? I'm not talking about what I think. I'm not talking about what you think. I'm not talking about what the world thinks. I'm telling you what God said. Let me give you some things basically about this rich man and this place called hell. Number one, verse 19 said there was a certain rich man. The Bible said he had everything that he wanted. You know, mark it down. There was a certain rich man. Mark it down. There was a certain rich man. God specifically told us there was a certain rich man. But I'll tell you, when God says that, there had to be one. And this man, well, lived and he moved. He had his being upon the face of the earth. That was a certain rich man. Secondly, the Bible said in verse number 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Notice this, the rich man also died. This certain rich man died. His life got over. It was like a vapor. It soon passed away. And now his life is gone. He's dead. He's dead. He's dead. And the Bible said he died. Verse 22. The third thing I want to tell you about this rich man is that he was buried. He went to the graveyard. They buried his body. They put his brain in the grave. They put his hands in the grave. They put his body in the grave. But he lived on. They buried him. But the grave was not the end. He still lived on. And that matter of fact, he died on. Amen. But we'll go on. I want you to see in verse number 23, the Bible said, and in hell he lift up his eyes. In hell, he lift up his eyes. He had to look up. Nobody in this world wants to look up anymore to God. But one of these days, if you die without God and go to hell, you will lift your eyes. You may not lift them today, but you will lift them one day after a while. Amen. Here he is. He didn't lift his eyes when he is alive, but he lifted his eyes when he is dead. The Bible tells us in verse 23 that he was conscious. In verse 23, and in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus. He was conscious. He lift up his eyes. He knew where he was. He knew that he existed, and he knew what was going on around him. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just going to be cast in the grave, and that's all there was to it, or if you're going to be cast in the fire, and you burned up, and that's all there was to it, hell wouldn't be so bad. But God's bloodhounds are going to be on your trail even after you're gone. I'll give it to you in just a minute. There's only one bloodhound that God needs to get on you when you go to hell. Amen. The next thing I want you to notice is in verse number 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Amen. He was tormented. I want to tell you, he didn't go to a Sunday school picnic when he died. He didn't go to some kind of a big organization where they're going to have a grand finale of some kind. He went to hell! He went to hell and he cried out for mercy. And he said, send Lazarus that he might dip his finger in a cup of water, that he might just touch my tongue. Oh, I'm tormented in his flame. Just one little drop of water is all he wanted. He wasn't crying for mercy. He wasn't crying to get saved. All he wanted was just one drop of water. He knew he was in hell forever. But one little drop of water would just be all that he wanted. It would help him to relieve him in the tormented state that he was in the very pits of hell. You hear me, ladies and gentlemen? Just one drop of water. Just one. He just wanted to dip his finger in water and
is come. He is tormented in the flames of hell. Ladies and gentlemen, hell's not a place to laugh about. Hell's not a place to make fun of. Hell is not a place to crack jokes about. Hell is not a place to curse by. Hell is a place to shun. It's a place to despise. And the only way you can remedy yourself from going there is through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to hear this message. I want you to hear this message. If I never preach another message, I want God to preach this message. Oh, in hell he lifted his eyes, been in torment in verse number 24. Can you see that with me this morning? He wasn't crying to repent. He knew it was over. He was only wanting a drop of water. He still had self on his mind. He still wanted, and I believe every person in hell this morning is the same way. I don't believe they're wanting to repent. They'd just like to get out of the mess that they're in. But there'll never be another opportunity. Now in verse 25, I want you to see this. We're going to spend the rest of the time here basically around verse 25 and 26. The Bible said in verse 25, but Abraham said, Son! Notice that next word. Remember! That's God's bloodhound. Remember! The rich man's brain's in the grave. The rich man's body's in the grave. The rich man's feet are in the grave. But his mind is in hell. And he remembers. Son, remember! That's God's bloodhound. God's bloodhound will haunt you the rest of your life. If you die without God and go to hell, God's going to say, Son, remember! He's in hell where the fire is. The fire will always be. And hell will always be. And there they are. His body now, what God has given him, now his mind is in hell! Amen? Now let me give you something in verse number 26. Here's what that bloodhound does. Verse 26, and beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. That bloodhound that you're going to hound you throughout eternity if you're lost, that you're saved, you know you don't have to go there, and you're not going there. Amen. But you who are lost and never been saved by the grace of God, those bloodhounds of hell, brother, are there. And here's what's going to happen to keep you in remembrance. What is it? In remembrance that there's going to be a totally forsaking of God in your life. What's worse and awful for those inhabitants of hell is that God is off limits to them from now on. They can never get saved. They can never get out. They can never find relief. Where's the rich man tonight or this morning? He's in hell lifting his eyes. You said, preacher, it didn't say that. Yes, it did. The Bible said in verse 23, and in hell he didn't say he lifted. That'd be past tense. It said he lift up his eyes. That's a present tense. Amen. He's still in hell lifting his eyes. Still crying for a drop of water to touch his tongue. But he can't get out of that. Amen. The bad thing is there's so many on this earth that are walking to and fro, and it's just going to be just a matter of time that they're going to be joining up with the rich man in hell. Just a matter of time. Time is running out. You may take one more step. I'll give you some things this morning. I hope it just shake you loose. I hope it just shakes you. Ever born again child of God, I hope it shakes you up. I hope this message stirs your soul. I hope you get a hold of this. Every lost person that's been, I pray that God will get a hold of you, that the Holy Ghost will shake you. I pray God will turn you every which way but loose. And I pray this morning you'll do everything but this morning in your power to do, to come to the house, to come to the altar and get saved and walk out of this building a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm not preaching this morning to make emotions and names and waves. I'm not preaching this morning Just to show you I can preach. No, sir. God's humbled my heart. I want you to know I'm preaching for your soul. I want to stand between you and God. I want to be your mediator in a sense this morning that I'm pointing you to the Lamb of God. Just like this might be the first time God's ever spoken and maybe the last. I want to speak to you just like God wants to speak to you. I want you to hear the gospel one more time. We don't have much of this anymore. We don't have much preaching on hell anymore. Most preachers are scared to preach on hell. They're afraid they're going to shake somebody up. Amen. I'm glad to shake you up. Amen. I was visiting one little place in a trailer park. You could throw the rock and hit the church door. Not this church, but another. And of course, we got them around here too. And I asked that boy, he's walking around out there. And I said, have you ever heard the story about the rich man in hell? And he said, no. And I read him this portion of scripture that I read in your hearing a while ago. And I said, son, you've heard this before, ain't you? He said, no. I said, you've never heard about the rich man dying and going to hell and in hell lifting his eyes and screaming for a drop of water? No. I read it to him. I said, look here. Here's what's going to happen to somebody that ain't been saved. That's here in the United States of America. In Habersham County, where I live. That was told to me from a 17-year-old boy. I stood in the jailhouse, Habersham County over here not too long ago. I've been several years back now, but haven't been that long. And I talked to a boy and I said to him, sir, you know what the gospel is, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? I said, you know what John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. He said, no. I said, you don't know what John 3:16 says. I said, everybody knows what John... No, I said, you never heard John 3:16. He said, never heard you. I read it to him, for God so loved the world. He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting. Listen, folks, we've got people in Habersham County that lives close by you, amen, may live among you that's never heard the gospel presentation of Jesus Christ. And brother, I want to stand in the gap and make up the hedge to let you know you're not going to stand before God and not be able to claim ignorance. Amen. I want you to stand and say, I heard the gospel, and you have to say amen to your own condemnation when God says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You with me this morning? I'm trying my best to preach you what God says. We read in the Word of God these things, and they need to get our intense interest. We need to pay much attention. But I guess what's going to happen to the lost in hell is that bloodhound comes over them and they realize this morning that they're forsaken by the Almighty God, and it's not over when death comes. Amen! It's not over for the child of God when death comes. We're going to heaven. It's not over for the unsaved this morning. They're going to hell. Life ends up going on. Now, let me give you something. I got to thinking about this, and this is what God put on my heart. I got to looking at this, and He said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus. And Abraham's the one that said, son, remember. And Abraham has begun to talk to him. It seemed like there was a communication between him and Abraham. And Abraham began to tell him a whole lot. And I thought, well, Abraham, is there any way? And I want to use your imagination for the rest of this message. I know we can't do that this morning, physically. But I believe God can do it in our imaginations and let us see something. And I said, Abraham, I would to God that you could just give me a first-class tour through the very pits of hell this morning. And I want to use Abraham and I want Abraham and me to tell you what's there. I use your imagination. You said, preacher, you're trying to use scare tactics. Brother, I'll scare you. Amen. I'd hit you on the head if you do any good, but it won't. I'll do what I can. I got scared the day I realized I was going to hell, and I come to God. You know why hell's being so populated this morning? Because we don't try to get down to business. Hell is just a little old something we talk about and laugh about. Hey! Hell is forever! Abraham, could you give me a little tour? Abraham carries me on the tour. We begin to walk. And we're in the very pits of hell, and for some strange reason we're protected. And we begin to go, and all of a sudden we come into the very one of the corners of hell. And there's a little crowd crying, open the door! Open the door! Open the door! And they're beating on each other and slapping each other. Open the door! Open the door! I said, Abraham, what's this? He said, that's a crowd that was in Noah's day. And God shut to the door. And they're in the flood. Listen, Abraham, Noah's not here. The ark's not here. No, they're not here. They're in heaven. But listen, the bloodhounds of memory is in there. They can still see the flood. They can still see the ark just like as yesterday. Ladies and gentlemen, prove me that's not so. Well, they're going through hell. Open the door. Let us in. Let us in. Open the door. That little crowd's still there. Noah preached 120 years. Somebody said there was 3 billion people on the face of the earth in the flood. I don't know how many there were. But I know for the first 2,000 years, it's populating pretty fast. That was a multitude. Only 8 people survived the flood. Amen? Are you with me? We looked at tour and we saw them in the corner. Open the door! Open the door! We go a little further. We go down the corridors of hell just a little further. Looking to the right and looking to the left. Everywhere people were screaming. Everywhere people were crying. Everywhere people were biting on each other. Everywhere they were screaming at one another. And everywhere there was nothing but hatred for one another. And we look over and there's a man standing. Take this thing away! Get rid of this thing! Take this thing away! Get rid of it! Somebody get rid of it! Take this thing away! Get rid of it! Abraham, what's he saying? Abraham said, that's Herod. He's got the head of John the Baptist. And he can't get rid of it. But John the Baptist's head's not here. No, but the bloodhounds of hell is in his mind. And he can't get rid of John the Baptist. He's got it. He sees John face to face. He can't get rid of that. He's in hell. Take this thing away. Somebody take this thing away. All he wanted was a drop of water to touch his tongue. We walk a little further. We walk a little further. We look to the right and the left. And they're screaming. They're crying. And we look over to the left. And there's a man wringing his hands and said, get this off me. Get this off me. Get this off me. Somebody get this off me. Somebody take it off of me. Get this off my hands. Somebody get this. Somebody get this off my hands. Get this off my. Somebody get this off my hands. Abraham, who's that? He said, it's Herod. He's got the blood of Christ. Where he washed his hands in the basin. He's trying to get the blood of Christ. He gave Barabbas up. He's released Barabbas, a prisoner. And he crucified Christ. And he's going through. And the bloodhounds in hell are reminding him of the blood. And he sees the blood on his hands. He can't get it all. Ladies and gentlemen, hell's a real place. You think, you said, preacher, that's rough. You said, preacher, that's all. Listen, preacher, you're scaring me. Listen, it won't be half as bad. I mean, it's worse if you end up going to hell. I don't want... Listen, I hope this is the most first-hand experience of hell you've ever had. I said, preacher, I sure wish I hadn't come today. I want to tell you something. I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did. I'm glad you're here. God wants to tell you something. We walk a little further. People screaming. People weeping and wailing and gnashing teeth. We look over the corner. And I said, who's that? I believe I've seen that fella. I believe I've seen him before. And I look at him and what's he saying? Have mercy on me! Have mercy on me! Have mercy on me! Have mercy on me! Now look, it's some young fella I preached to that didn't hear me. He's turned his back. Have mercy on me! I can think of quite a few young fellas. Now let me give you something just shock the daylights off of you. Can I give you something shock you? What's the youngest person in hell? Could somebody tell me what the youngest person is? You can't, can you? You know, when you picture hell, you know what you picture? You picture old men and old women as mean and vulgar and bad. Preachers, ain't no children in hell. Well, let's just define what the word children is. How many can believe that you can get saved at 5 years old? You believe you can get saved at 5 years old? I would not argue with anybody that said they got saved at 5. Then if they can get saved at 5, that means they can be lost at 5. Does that shake your little brain up a little bit? That means if you've got a 5-year-old child, it's already come the age of accountability and knows right from wrong. If that child died, he'd go to hell. Preacher! They're under the mercy of God. They're under the innocence. Listen, when they learn right from wrong and they know right from wrong, brother, for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, they go to hell! I'm sure there's some little boys I preached to that's in hell this morning. Everybody wants to think, hey, you don't reach age of accountability, you're 16 or 17. That's the only place. People put people, God put people in hell.
And by the way, God don't put them there. He has no alternative. You put yourself there. And that's another doctrine by itself, but I don't have time to get... Listen to me. If you go to hell, you go as an intruder. But in hell, if they're in hell, it's because they did that, because they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only reason. And there's been a lot of young men, young boys, I preached to and didn't pay me no attention. We walk a little further. We go down the corridors of hell just a little further. Guess what? They're still screaming. Acres and acres and miles, distance after distance. People screaming, crying, and weeping. And I look over and here's a little girl. And she said, "Help me! Help me! Somebody help me! Help me! Help me! Somebody please help me!" A little girl, pretty as she can be. "Help me! Help me! Help me! Help me! Somebody help me!" And I said, "I believe I know her." Abraham said, "She said on your preaching, she refused the gospel. She died. And now she's in hell." Ain't that bad? Abraham, I don't know how much more this I can take. Well, come on, I'll show you a little more. So we go down the corridors just a little bit further. And he says, I look over and there's some. You know what they're doing? They're crying out. "I played the fool! I played the fool!" I see three or four men in this little group. And my mind can go back to some of these in my mind. "I played the fool! I played the fool! Have you come here? Hey, I played the fool! I played the fool!" Now look, when some men I'd preached to, sit in their homes, witnessed to them, told them about Jesus. I know some in this county. I've sit in their homes. I preached to them on the pews. I went to their houses and preached to them. I witnessed to them. I know some right now that I preached their funerals. They went to hell after hearing the message I preached. I'm going to tell you something. It'd be awful going to hell over a sermon like this morning. You know why? This will be one of the sermons you'll remember all your days. This will be the blood handle get you. "That preacher told me, you'll be in hell. That preacher said, I wish I could hear it. Oh, that preacher said it. That preacher, oh, somebody cut my ears off. I don't want to hear it. Oh, I can't stand it. He preached to me." Went a little further. And there were some women screaming. They couldn't find no relief. And they said, "No, no, no, this can't be. No, 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 this can't be." And I looked. And there's some women I preached through down through the years. And they said no to God. And now the hounds of hell are on their case and they're crying, "No, no, no," throughout eternity. I'm going to tell you this story and I'm closing. I read of a story, or heard it one, about a cowboy out in Texas that went to spend the night or two with a friend. And they put him in a downstairs. But for some reason, the man of the house had to go to town for something. He went to town. And that man was in the downstairs and that man's wife was upstairs. And what happened is he got bedtime and that man hadn't come home. And that cowboy went on to bed. The woman went to bed and upstairs. And after a while, he heard an old lobo wolf out in the woods making his little racket. Said it woke him up. He didn't pay no attention to it. Said he kind of eased off back to sleep. In a few minutes, he woke up again, thought he heard a woman screaming. "Screaming! Screaming!" And said he listened, quiet, and then heard again. "Somebody!" He said, "It is. It is. It's a woman screaming." And said he got up, got his little pony, went off down through the field where that sound of that woman was. And said he went down to where and said, "Here," he looked, and there was that woman running to and fro. "Screaming! Screaming! Where's my baby? Where's my baby?" Screaming, "Where's my baby?" Said so finally, he said he chased her down, got a hold of her and tried to get her to come. Said she wouldn't. Said he finally just slapped her. She kind of come to her senses. He said he picked her up and put her on the pony and led the pony back up. Kind of calmed her down and the man of the house came home. He met him and he said, "I don't know what's wrong with your wife." He said, "Well, that's the reason I left you here and didn't take you with me." He said, "About 20 years ago, my wife had a little baby girl, about 2.5, 3 years old. stayed around her legs, and she's out doing chores and hanging laundry up on the line, and said she got so involved in that, and the little girl's always so close, but she heard a noise and looked, and there was an old lobo wolf growling and running. She said, I leaped to get to that woman, leaped to get that baby, and said that lobo wolf grabbed that child and drug it down through the woods, and she chased it, and said, we got everybody in the community looking for that baby. Said, all we ever found was just a little piece of its skirt. And said, now, my wife these years, every time she hears an old lobo wolf make a racket, she goes crazy. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, that's what's going to be in hell. You go to hell without God, it's going to be awful. It's going to be rough. Ladies, I want y'all to slip to the instruments, please, quickly and quietly as you can. Everybody else, I want you to pay attention. I want you to bow your head. I don't want you to move around. I want you to be as quiet as possible. I want God to do business in your heart. Ladies and gentlemen, I didn't come here this morning to take up space. This message has about worn me out about as much as any message I've ever preached. This message has been very strenuous, but I want you to stand your feet very quietly and very quickly, please. I don't know your condition. I don't know where you're going when this life's over. But if sometime after a while you drawed your last breath and you went out into the pits of hell without God, you'd remember this sermon forever. And you don't have to do that. You could come and do business with the King this morning at the altar. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. The Bible said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Saint, pray. Sinner, seek the face of God. We're going to sing a verse of song. And I pray this morning God will deal with you. You may have thought you got saved down the road, but maybe God showed you you're not saved. This would be a good time to come and get born in the family of God. Or at least maybe you know you're not saved. This would be a good time to come and give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. 524 in the song book, Prepare to Meet Thy God. Would you get it this morning and sing together with us? I pray the Holy Ghost has built a fire under your soul. I pray the Holy Ghost this morning has dealt with your heart. Look here. Rich man said, send Lazarus, that he might just take his finger and dip it in water and touch my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Remember, Abraham said, son, remember the bloodhound of hell. All right, let's sing. 524. How about it? How about it? I'm prepared to meet God. What if you died the next 5 minutes? Would you be unprepared to meet God? Would you? How about it? Go ahead and postpone it. Put it off. Forget about it. Try to run from God. But one of these days, you'll lift your eyes in hell. You can't outrun God's bloodhounds. The Lord stands with outstretched arms saying, come to me. That's what He's saying. Would you do it? Play on just a minute. Play. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes. I don't know this morning if you're lost what it's going to take for you to give your heart and life to the Lord. I felt conviction in this place so thick that you could cut it.
I felt God's divine presence in this building, and it even scares me. And I felt the presence of God in this place this morning in preaching. That I know God has met with us in a real way today. And I don't know what it's going to take. And I've tried my best to tell you with as much love in my heart as I could, because I love you. I'm not trying to disrupt your life. I'm trying to give you a life. The Lord's already paid the price for you. In hell, I'll mention this one thing. In hell, there's a separation. That separation is from God for eternity. But I want to go on the like term of that this morning and tell you that on the cross of Calvary, Jesus suffered and bled and died. One of the last things He said, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." And He gave up the ghost. But before that, He cried out to His Father, said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" God did something. He turned His back on His only begotten Son. Now, God could have rescued Him. Christ could have rescued Himself. But God chose to turn His back and have a separation between Him and His Son, just so that we wouldn't have to be separated from God forever. And ladies and gentlemen, this morning, God sent you a message. Now what are you going to do with it? And if you wind up in hell, you can't blame me. I've tried my best to tell you what God had for you and what God don't want you to have. He don't want you to go to hell. While heads are bowed, eyes are closed, I want you to do that. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not coming to you. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. But you say, "Preacher, I certainly want you to pray for me. I need your prayers." Would you slip that hand up and right back down? That's all I ask. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to come to you. "Preacher, pray for me." Slip your hand up and let it right back down, please. How about it?